You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 395, Unlucky Streak. Welcome to episode 395 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am Banquet Boy. I prepared a veritable feast for the moms today.
Aww.
And nice. Jan and I had both of our moms over, so we got all three Mother's Days taken care of in one fell swoop, and it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved it. And yeah, all exhausted.
Are you exhausted?
Yeah, but man, the spread that I put together in just an hour and a half, I was pleased. So, everything looked great, and everybody enjoyed it. And
Hold on. Did you call for pizza?
Sir, please.
Just asking.
Please. No, I had all sorts of fruit. I had a big fruit platter, a big veggie platter. I had a sausage platter. Hey now.
Hey. Why was I not invited? Hold it.
And at Jan's request, I did some steamed mussels. And
I love steamy mussels.
I know. Uh-huh. So the moms were happy. The moms felt fussed over, and that's what it's all about.
That is a good thing. Ooh. I'm actually I guess I'll talk about Mom's Day in a minute. I guess, hi, I'm Darren Noel. Hi.
Yay.
I just got back from my con, so I'm going to call myself Con Crash Kid. Yeah. There's a local con in Atlanta that is more of an adult bent. It usually happens on Easter weekend. And they moved it to Mother's Day weekend because of a hotel change and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
That made life interesting because different people showed up who normally would not show up because they're always busy Easter weekend. And then people who usually show up Easter weekend didn't show up because they're always busy Mother's Day weekend. So it's very weird when that happens.
Yeah.
It was a different vibe and a different hotel and was kind of off. I don't know. But I had a good time. So, cool. Yay. And then I came home and I've done some spring cleaning. Trying to get the place back in shape before another semester starts.
So the last semester is done now.
The last semester is done. I haven't looked at my grades yet. I'm in denial. I have a big job coming up soon where I have to review give my evaluation of the course.
Uh huh.
And I really want to take my time with it. And you have to do that before you can see your grade. So I'm waiting.
Oh, that's a tricky way of making sure they
isn't
get the eval.
It?
Yeah.
Isn't it? I'm like, well, you want to know what I really think? Well, you're going to hear it. So I've been in a lot of classes that are very good the first half, and then the second half just goes off the bloody rails. It doesn't know what it wants to be. So I'm like, okay, what the hell? So, yeah.
And what course is this?
This would be data-driven decision-making.
Oh, nice.
In which we spent the first week talking about, get this, are you sitting down? Mean, mode, and median.
Yes. I'm a stats nerd. I love that shit.
And that's fine. that is fine. But we spent an entire 2.5 hour class on those topics.
Oh, good grief.
Exactly. Exactly, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'm like, how did you pass the GMAT enough to get into this program without knowing these
concepts? Yeah, I getcha.
So, and then we spent the last 4 weeks on multiple logistic regression and linear logistic regression, big words for basically a program that you can download or do something in Excel. And I felt like he went into way too much detail on this when all you really need to know is how to put the data in and then read the results. We spent 4 weeks on that.
Good the grief.
Exactly. So I'm like, this course doesn't know what the hell it wants to be. If it wants to be a stats course, call it a stats course. But I was looking forward to doing some cases, where it was actual practical application.
Let's
how they did things and no.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. You want to, it's like, okay, so we get the idea of the statistics, and we get what you need to do. But it's this isn't talking about analyzing about data analysis. It's talking about making decisions with data. Yeah, exactly. I get you.
Exactly. It's not just how to do it. It's like, well, then what do we do with this? Now that we have it, what do we do with it? And it was very weird.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the professor was kind of odd, and not in a particularly good or bad way. He just had many personalities.
Oh, my.
He didn't know which one was going to happen at a time. And, like, does he know he's talking to MBA students? Because he's acting like he's talking to entering freshmen or high school students.
Yeah.
We have busy lives. I know we signed up for the classes. I get that. But I'd rather know, you know, how to do it than be told, well, the directions are okay enough, but it's supposed to give you, like, 5 to 6 hours to think about how to do it beforehand.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of time.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I'm like, just show me how to do it and so I can understand it, and we'll move on, and I'll give you the analysis. That should be on my own. But it shouldn't be, yeah, do this. Oh, and by the way, here's this one crucial part I failed to tell you anything about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. But, yeah. I'm enjoying my brief time off before I dive back in. So
nice.
Cleaning.
Exactly. So, Legion news.
There is none.
No.
Don't tell me there's some, because I haven't seen any.
No, just a sort of thing. Just talks about the Supergirl series, whether or not it will continue on CBS. There has been some discussion as to whether or not...
because of budget, right?
Because of budget. There's been some talk. I don't know how much of this is substantiated, though. There's been some talk about, you know, will they move it to the CW? And the CW is doing well with this exact type of show.
Yep.
And
CBS is traditionally very tight on their budgets.
Very true.
Murder, She Wrote. Come on.
Yeah, well, but the difference is, when, you know, with a show that is on a network like a CBS, they can throw a little more money at a show. Mm-hmm. And so I know there have been some concerns online about, you know, people saying, oh, but it'll be a lower budget show. And it's like, all I can think is, you know, for what they do on the show, I don't see that the budget on Flash has hurt them particularly. You know, they put out their set pieces with care. But I didn't sort of think when Flash was on Supergirl, like, oh, wow, this is so different. They must have a lot more money to work with. And yeah,
I didn't think that either.
Yeah, so you know, let's be real here. You know, Supergirl's a Legionnaire. It counts.
Yep, it does.
And so I got to say, I'm really hoping that they give some thought to moving this to the CW, because I know of one little girl that will be pissed if she doesn't get renewed.
Yeah, that's your first show heartbreak.
Yeah, I already had to explain a cliffhanger to her, because she's like, okay, so what happens next? And it's like, well, we'll find out in September. And she just looked at me like,
September?
Like, Daddy. She said, that's so long. And so they need to get they shit together, is what I'm saying.
Get they shit
together. They need to get they shit together. Mm-hmm. And so
that's the part of the movie you saw. Sorry, pre-show.
Oh, that's a
pre-show joke, folks. Yeah, sorry.
yeah. Okay. All
I didn't
right.
mean to
yeah.
do that, but yeah, it was funny.
Damn, son, damn. Gotcha. All right. Gotcha. So anyway, so that's kind of where that's at. They haven't announced its renewal nor its cancellation at this stage. But with upfronts coming up in the next week or so, they're going to have to land on something.
Truth.
Because they're going to be presenting their shows. So there will be a decision made in the next week or so. I think that is a certainty. So we shall see.
That we shall.
So I'm just trying to think. Anything Legionish in the? No, I don't think so. Although I do want a shout out to our friend Buzz. Our friend Buzz made a little splash at Wizard World Minneapolis, where there was a guy out there who basically prints off other people's artwork and sells it
as his own. Shocker.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everything from stuff by Neil Adams, Andy Braze, Simon Bisley, Mike Diodato, Greg Horn. That's ironic. Addy Granov. You know, all kinds of stuff. And you know, and he's basically like, you know, putting it on like coffee mugs and you know, and prints and t-shirts and all this kind of stuff. And so Buzz basically went over there and went off on him sort of at the table in Buzz fashion and he gave it to him and basically chased him off.
Mm-hmm.
And they left the con, so amen. Because, you know, this whole thing is that, you know, it's one thing. Let the companies sort out what's going on with their IP rights. That's up to them. That's up to them. You know, if Marvel decides they don't want to defend the guy selling the Captain America picture, their business.
Yeah,
they're true. Totally their business. But when he's up there taking, you know, when basically he's up there selling the prints of the work that the other guy did, you know, Neil Adams was like four tables down, and you know,
that
and,
took an amazing amount of balls. Or
right,
this guy does not know Neil Adams. Because
yeah, exactly.
People have brought stuff to Neil Adams to sign. He's like, I'm not signing that. I didn't like it. And the conversation is over.
Yeah.
You know, it's just over. Done. Neil Adams has spoken. And that's just the way it is.
And so there was Gary Guzzo, who used to be the head up publicity at Marvel. And one of his jobs was basically keep the use of the material in our hands, so that, you know, even down to like the costume characters in Times Square and that kind of stuff, you know, they used to have to try and keep some tight control on that kind of thing. But with these kind of things, you know, it's basically what they're saying is like, talk to convention organizers and get these guys out of Artist Alley, because they did not create anything. And so do not buy anything from Tim Lundmark, who goes by the name The Random Artist, because basically he shows up at shows selling work that he's ripped off from other artists as though it were his own, and it is not.
Well, that's when it pays off to know your artists. I mean, honestly, when you go to a con and you go shopping, you should be able to Google someone and see their work. And if you know enough comic art, you should know that an artist may have phases, like we talk about Giffen's phases all the time, but they're very distinct, and you know it when you see it. If someone was to pass off something as their work that was Giffen inspired, that'd be one thing. But then to sign basically a lift of everything that they've done as their own work? Nope, sorry. And I do put this on a lot on the con runners.
Yeah.
Because they're giving these folks a place to do this and taking away space from artists who could actually sell their legitimate work.
And so, think about this, right? It can be challenging for an artist to get a table at Artist Alley.
Yeah, because they're full of these guys.
Exactly. And it's like, no, let's have someone who's actually an artist as opposed to someone who knows how to run a fucking photocopy.
Someone who has a credit with a company doing something. Or can produce some independent, legitimate art of some form or fashion.
Absolutely, because, you know, that's a good way for people to, you know, but there's a difference, right? Is like, you know, the guy who maybe doesn't have a credit, but basically he's there to sit and draw sketches for people. And that's great.
That would be fine.
This dude, you know, this dude who's not doing anything of the sort, he's just selling prints that he's stolen from other people.
Yep.
Hell with that. There's just no way.
Well, then I would also say to people, you need to look and make sure that the artist's style doesn't change drastically from thing to thing to thing.
You'd wonder, yeah, for sure.
That's kind of a tip-off, in my opinion. Unless they have distinct faces like Giffen, but, you know, that's...
Well, and
that's not altogether, really. I mean...
You know, because I always think of... you know, one artist that I saw who worked ended up working on a bunch of DC books at one stage is Marcus Toe, and I became aware of his work in going to one of the Paradise Comics shows years ago, and the ladies who worked at the Dragon, which is the comic store here in Guelph, the Eisner Award winning Dragon, I should say, one of the people there mentioned, like, you gotta go check this guy out. His work is awesome. And I went over and saw it, and I ended up getting a couple of sketches to him. He drew a lot of the stuff in the Multiversity guidebook. He also worked on Red Robin, Huntress, and Soulfire, as well as Batwing. But at the time, he had very little, like, he had no, you know, this is like 2004, and he had no real credits. And
that's, you know, that's an issue for someone new into the business.
Yeah, but the dude was cranking out sketches, and and he had a huge waiting list. But you know, it was like, this will be done by the end of the day. I'm staying until these are done, and did some fine work. But that's a great sort of learning stage for a lot of these guys. You know, because I think any of them will say, like, hey, man, I worked at this. I worked at this show, and did all this. Did all these sketches, and it's the old Malcolm Gladwell thing. He put in his 10,000 hours, man.
Yep.
And that's the thing, is just constantly getting it done. So to me, I'm fine if that guy's got no credits and he's sitting there actually physically drawing at a show.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone's selling prints. Yeah,
it's a problem.
You know, buyer beware. Totally. And so, yeah.
And I have a personal story to, I guess, jump onto that, because I was at a con and I've dealt with several folks online who I know are artists. When you're buying at a convention, make sure you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. Make sure you know when it's going to be done. I have to put out this word of caution. Do not leave the con without your product or your money back.
Yeah.
Because I've paid for sketches that have never been delivered. And people have, you know, quote unquote, dropped contact with me because of their, oh, thanks for the money, dude. Bye. You know, not gonna finish that sketch. Thanks for the free dough. Don't do it, because it is a waste of your time and money. Don't order online from anyone unless they have an official, like, eBay store and they've already done the sketch and it's up waiting to be shipped. Like, I know Fred Hembeck does that a lot.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Hembeck, you could definitely trust to have already done that sketch and it's ready to go on his eBay store. But anyone who's just, you know, around, buyer beware. Same with any cosplay commission that you do. Buyer beware. Yeah. Make sure you get all the information. Make sure that deadlines are clear to both sides, because I guarantee you something will come up and things will get ugly, and it's difficult to come back from that. We're still, you know, I mean, geek is all chic and superhero movies are all the rage. We all know that. But we're still a pretty small community.
Yeah.
And a lot of word of mouth goes a long way with regards to business. And I know some people treat this kind of like a hobby, and they may have a full-time regular job, but once you take money, you're in business.
That's right.
To do something, regardless of how you're going to treat it. And if you don't treat it with respect and a business-like attitude, you're going to be in trouble down the road. And you're going to get a bad reputation for not delivering at all, or late, or poor craftsmanship, poor work.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's just a bad thing. So buyer beware. Seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, and it's appropriate that we discuss this because we are headed into con season.
We are.
And
we are indeed. I just got back from one. Yay!
Exactly. And I'm just looking now to see, because I want to make sure that I get out to TCAF this year.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been in a few years, and it is always awesome. That's the Toronto Comic Arts Festival. And
well, that sounds fun.
Oh, it's an amazing show. Because it's really focused on just, you know, everyone's there doing art, you know, they're selling some books and stuff, mm-hmm. but everyone's drawing.
And that's a beautiful thing.
And so, you know, like they're talking, like so featured guests this time around, Chip Zdarsky, Gene Yang on the Sunday, Pia Guerra, mm-hmm. Faith Erin Hicks, I'm just gonna dig up the all featured guests. Kate Beaton from Hark of Vagrant, Chester Brown, Duncan Fregredo canceled. That sucks because that would be cool. Let's see some others. Sorry, the list is loading slowly.
The list goes on. You know, there are several people at cons.
Jeff Lemire.
And
the first one I went to, actually, that's where I got my Ultra Boy sketch from Jeff Lemire. Mm-hmm. Sean Phillips, Steve Scroce, Brian K. Vaughn's supposed to be there. There's Gene Yang, and who is the guy who's writing Superman now?
Oh, sweet.
And he's best known for his book American Born Chinese for a second.
Cool.
And the aforementioned Chip Zdarsky, which again, just plain worth the price of admission right there. Mm-hmm. And a whole ton of other artists I'm just kind of going with the more mainstreamy ones that most people will know. But for more information, people can go to torontocomics.com and check it out.
See, there are two folks that you and I both know that we should probably give a shout out to after talking about some artists at LA Comics, but they've done stuff.
Yeah.
Comfort and Love,
I think,
are some of the hardest working folks at a con ever that you will find.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are at their artist alley table first thing in the morning, typically. They are there when the dealer's room or the artist alley room closes, and they are drawing the entire time. They're talking while they're drawing.
Yeah. And not only that, but when everyone's going out to the bar that night,
they're drawing
that. They are sitting at their table, and they are drawing. They are getting that shit done.
Yeah, they are.
Because everyone is getting their sketches. Honestly, of all the artists I've met, you know, and many that I've met are awesome at just, you know, getting the stuff done for you. Mm-hmm. But what I love about them is that they are absolutely dogged about it.
And, yeah, they are.
You're watching them and they're sitting there and they're getting their work done. And, you know, because they are not going to disappoint.
You can go up and talk to them. They're fine.
Yeah.
They are friendly as can get, but they're not going to look up at you.
Yeah. No, they are focused but they are also excellent multitaskers.
Yep.
But most importantly, they get it done. Yeah.
And that's the kind of artist you want to have a commission from.
Yeah. So that's kind of the scoop. So the TCAF.
Maybe we should do a con guide sometime, you and me. Maybe we should put that on the schedule.
Yeah.
Mm, Maybe.
I feel like
maybe.
I haven't been to a con in ages, so I'm fixing to make that a different thing.
Careful,
this year.
That is a southernism, sir. You're fixing to what, sir?
I'm fixing to get that done. Make that not a thing anymore. I am going to be at TCAF, damn it. And I'm going to try and make it out to Fan Expo for at least one of the days as well. And so that is that. Oh gosh, this is like, oh,
what?
I'm not too late, am I?
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's next weekend. Wow.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. There you go. Unfortunately, I don't think we have a whole lot planned for the weekend. So yay.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So, because one of my fondest memories is the Monkey Man and his family and I going down there for the show and going to this awesome sushi place nearby.
Sushi.
Yeah.
Now I'm hungry for sushi. Damn it, Paul.
Damn it. All right. So let's get to
see what happens.
This is what happened. I know, right?
Oh, God.
All right. So let's get into the issue.
All right.
What issue? The issue at hand is issue.
It has that cute anniversary banner on it,
right? And this is one of the first I remember having the banner, although it probably isn't.
Oh, it's not.
No, because actually 300 had it.
Detective Comics. Yeah, Detective Comics had it on there for the I forget which one it was, but it was maybe it was the 500th anniversary of Batman or something.
The 500th issue, so it was 527.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was a couple of years before this because Don Newton did the art in it, and by this time he was a couple of years deed.
Totes my goats, sir.
Yeah, so never mind. This is perhaps one of the last times they used the anniversary banner.
Yeah, I think that's more accurate.
Yeah, because now that I think of it, they totally used it on issue 300.
Yeah, they did.
And I don't want to get caught in another Oscar Asherman where I believed what the letter column told me, that he had never actually been seen. Turns out he was everywhere.
Never believe the letter columns.
Seriously, it's like the
comment
section. Unless
it's a letter from TM Maple, then you can believe it.
Exactly. Ah, pour one out.
Mm-hmm.
The late TM Maple.
Cheers.
All right. So this was the 30th anniversary of the Legion.
Scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, this book is now how old?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost another 30 years.
Uh-huh, almost.
Well, that's something important to think about. In 2 years,
it will be the
60th anniversary of the Legion.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wonder if they'll do anything for it.
Who knows?
This is me sitting over here in the corner, rolling my eyes.
See, because that's the thing, is that you know, that when someone hates something, that is not the opposite of loving it.
Truth.
Being apathetic toward it is the opposite.
Yes,
of it. So
very well spoken, sir. You might be a poet.
I might just be, sir.
And if no one hasn't yet guessed from this cover, it's a Lightning Lad centric issue.
Yeah.
So you need to pour a very large drink out.
Because there's gonna be some.
There's gonna be some origin.
Yeah.
And there's gonna be some crackooming.
And there will be Lightning Beasts of Korvaal.
Oh, totes.
So it is a Ken Stacy cover. This is when he took over doing covers for a little bit.
It's a beautiful cover.
It is.
I actually enjoy this a lot.
Yeah. And then next issue we got the conspiracy cover. Oh,
I know. Conspiracy starts.
So
it's already started, but it's officially started.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So this is the 30th anniversary issue of the Legion of Superheroes. We see the Luck Lords as we saw at the end of last issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they are at the Ziggurat on Ventura, which is a holy place sacred to the principles of luck.
And doesn't that make sense since Ventura is like Las Vegas?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, totally. Supposedly the original home of the Luck Lords who watched over the universe from ancient times. Their existence is naturally a myth, occasionally played upon by imitators and con artists.
Mm.
And this is from Margiv's Guide to the Pleasure Worlds 2988 edition.
Ooh, there's multiple Pleasure Worlds? I want to go.
Hey now.
go so bad. Anyway.
So they say the falling of the Starstone sets the pattern. Chance decrees that the Legionnaires may fall as well. or that the Legionnaire may fall as well. And with him, all that reason has put in the path of Luck's destiny. Oh my. So this issue is brought to us by Paul Levitz, writer, Greg LaRocque and Mike DiCarlo, artists, but along with some guest artists, which would include Kurt Schaffenberger, Kurt Swan, Dave Cockrum, Mike Grell, Keith Giffen, and Dick Giordano. And yeah, that is a perfect collection of artists to be working on a Legion book, because they all have their place in the Legion's history.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would think. At least, you know, we'll get to that.
They all have their place.
They all have their place in Legion.
It's just whether or not there's a good inker pairing, but I digress.
Yeah, that we're going to get to that.
Yeah. All right, so they say, one more time the stars come together in the order of convergent angles. And the other one says, twice I have dreamt that science may fall and chance reign in this cosmos again. Shall we let these be but dreams? And they say, three, lords of luck, and three alone remain to see the truth. If we do not act, who shall? If not us, who? If not now, when?
When?
Yeah. So let the brazier be lit. And there's a big old, looks kind of like a big old funeral pyre in front of them. Let the mortal whose life is linked to the convergence ablaze above us. Let the moment of doom draw nigh. The convergence comes closer, the pattern near complete. As it has happened before, now again. On this unlikely pivot will the fate of a universe turn. On one mortal's breath, the balance of science's ordered probabilities against luck's random gifts. On our oath, the mortal dies as the stars converge and a new era begins.
Well, it sounds kind of like they're foretelling the Magic Wars in a way.
A little bit. I wonder if that was designed to be some foreshadowing on that.
It's very vague foreshadowing, but light prophecy would be.
Kind of like a horoscope, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
High in the list of forbidden places is Labyrinth, the United Planet's top security prison world, a marvel of modern technology powered by directly tapping the solar furnaces of its neighboring star. Labyrinth is encased in an extraordinary force shield, an absolute necessity to keep its inmates from breaking loose in their rare intervals of waking from suspended animation. Wow. Mm. Yeah.
So they do let them wake up from the suspended animation. That's nice, I guess.
Rarely.
Rarely? To go pee and poop and eat, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah.
But can we talk about how the Luck Lords all look like Eyes of Ekron on top of bodies?
A little bit, yeah.
Is that what the Eye of Ekron is? Did Emerald Empress kill a Luck Lord, and that's what that thing is? I don't know. But
no, we would get a very different origin for that in LEGION. Yeah.
And other places.
Oh, even more so there, yeah. All right, so anonymous prisoners saying, it is better to die than land in Labyrinth. At least when you die, the worms don't get into your mind.
Ooh.
They say, plain to see, we've created the most effective system of imprisonment in the Milky Way. Enjoying the tour? And so the warden is giving a tour to Gamad Ku, who is clearly from Tomar Rey's planet, from Zudar. So he says, my science police detachment on Zudar has been sending you cold sleepers since you set up here, and the recidivism rate is far lower than it was on Takran Galtos. Makes our job easier. And he says, the only time we wake the animals up is for mind therapy, and that's under the most careful conditions. Don't waste effort on the hopeless ones either.
Ah.
And they bring up one, and I can't quite...
Hold on.
Yeah.
I think that might be Silver Slasher.
So it is. The hair looks Yeah. They say this beauty is beyond any psych tech in the UP, and that makes sense. She looks dangerous, and he says, not anymore. And they say, is the mind therapy very successful? You don't even get the kinds of minor criminals where I would expect it to work. And he says, depends. Worth trying, though. And he says, here, take an eye stalk at this case.
Oh, my. Well, you sneezed, or I sneezed, and you coughed.
Oh,
well,
my. Yeah.
Goodness.
Mech Ranz, alias Lightning Lord, traumatized by his unnatural singleton birth on Wenneth, where virtually all births are twins. Alienation compounded by neurological changes from an accident giving him electrical powers resulted in habitual criminal activity.
Ah.
So he's sitting in the chair with one crazy ass
looking
therapist.
So society is lame, eh?
Apparently, yeah. he says, "I hate him." And he says, "Go on." He goes, "I should have been the leader. I was the eldest. Ayla should have followed my wishes, not Garth's. What if he was her twin? I was firstborn. I had rights." And the guy's like, "Yes." And he says, "She should be mine. I'll kill him." And remember, this is that time he got thrown in here after 303.
Well, no, this is after LSV War.
No, I realize that it is, but, you know, remember when he showed up when Ayla came back?
Oh, yeah.
And he showed up stomping his way. Or she just left? I can't remember.
She had just left from 303, and he was looking for her.
Yeah, and he came stomping in, and, yeah, mm-hmm. It was a whole thing.
But then, you know, he was doing the same thing in the LSV War, and that's how Ayla got her powers back, really. She tortured her. So.
Exactly. So he says, disgusting. Humans carrying mind trash a larva should have outgrown. Enough. Guards, take the prisoner back to the freezer.
Basically, a little immature.
Yeah, a little bit.
And a little psychotic. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So they say, one alone, not two entwined, or three divine, our tool he shall be. And so, breep, prisoner Rans, released for transfer. Breep. Increased tranquilizing agents, and they lift and they go to do this to him, but mind control accidentally damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes, there's a prisoner incident in the therapy zone, and the Zudarian SP asks if he can help, and the warden says try prayer.
Indeed.
And. Yeah, Lightning Lord is not having it. He says, "How dare you? You were tampering with my mind."
Of course they were.
Prisoner is directed to surrender, and he says, "Surrender? Your programming is a joke. The Lightning Lord never surrenders."
Never retreat. Never surrender.
Indeed. Yeah. Prisoner, and so he, you know, he zaps all of the robotic guards that come after him. He says, "You're not getting a second chance either." He says, "Got to make use of this luck break. Get off this hellhole somehow." And then Security Prime shows up. "Your powers cannot affect my bubble shield. Surrender." "Your continued health cannot be ensured unless you surrender immediately, prisoner. We will commence action at the count of three. One, two, and crack-oom. Take a drink."
Yay. Here we go.
"I informed you the bubble shield has been coated with reflective photons to guard against your..." "Or protons to guard against your powers, Mech Rant. Surrender. Three. Fire." And
Krakoom
again.
Take a drink.
Dang. "Reflective protons. Hell. See how much good they do you now that I blasted the floor out from under you. Idiots." And so
it's
yeah,
that whole yellow thing with Green Lanterns. You got to find another way to affect them.
Exactly. So warden's still kind of freaking out over it, and basically, yeah, it does not go well. There's a C'thun. There's a C'thun as things.
Hold on.
Woohoo!
Did I lie about the big drink? I don't think I did. Nope.
So fortunately, no other prisoners have been awakened, but the Zudarian craft gets stolen, and away he goes. And
there you go.
Yeah. So, and so this leads into a little flashback to, and this is definitely Schaffenberg pencils. I'm not sure who inked it though. I mean, because it's the often noted.
It looks a little Ordwiggy. A little Ordway, not a lot. But.
Yeah, it's DiCarlo and or Arnie Starr. I'm just not sure which is which, right?
Are they interchangeable? Because that'd be funny.
Well, they certainly work together a lot, right?
True.
And but yeah, you can tell there's a freshness to a Schaffenberger layout that this is definitely. So yeah, basically we see the usual with Mech, Ayla, and Garth taking off in their little ship, and
prepare to take a drink, people.
Oh yeah, Oh yeah. So he's gonna get them to a safe landing. There, we ought to have enough power to make that world. But that's Korriball, the lightning world. And I don't know if you, any of you, are aware of this, but this is where they get their powers. So the ship crashes, and there is a lot of lightning, and maybe a science police search party will find us.
What episode are we on? 395,
yeah.
All right, if people don't know how the Rances get their powers yet, they've not been paying attention.
Very true, very true.
I think that's safe to say at this point.
Absolutely. So yeah, there's speculation as to whether or not a search party will find them, and of course, it doesn't seem likely.
No.
The Luck Lords say odds favored that they should not, even without our gift. Chance decreed that death should seek them out before the living, yet we were wrong. And so we see the lightning creatures heading over, but of course they go to lure them over to the ship. They get zapped.
Charge it up, yeah.
They get zapped and
take a drink. There you go.
Take a drink, yeah.
Lightning Beast of Korriball, Rand's origins.
And we got a couple of Krakooms coming up. So they realize they've got these powers. And Mecht zaps, there's a Krakoom. Then they decide, hey, maybe we can charge the ship, and they do.
Oh, God, I'm going to be so hungover tomorrow.
Oh, my. And so the Luck Lords say, you know, the monster struck at the mortals, not the starship. First, because our plan was wrong. Second, because the improbability factor that destroyed the battery charge also enabled them to survive. Third, because even the dreams of the Lords of Luck do not see the paths of chance perfectly. And in trying to change the universe's fate by ending the life of an otherwise unimportant mortal, we gave him the power to be important.
Ah, see that? That's what happens when you screw with things.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't screw with things, and this never would have happened. They would have been dead, right? At least the Luck Lords think so.
Yeah, well, because as they said earlier, they said, you know, knowing that the youngest was one on whom the balance of reason and chance rested, we could not do elsewise but try. Yeah, so, all right, so we flash over to Legion headquarters, and the founders are hanging out. And,
like you do.
Yeah, exactly. And Kaz is saying, I thought we got out of all this work when we retired from the Legion. And Lightning Lad says, hey, don't you complain. You're the one who came up with our special status as senior advisors to the team. And he says, I know, Lightning Lad, we deserved it as founders of the team. This all tied into the Secret Origins issue that came out that month. Mm-hmm. And he says, but I didn't think anyone would take this seriously. And they say, well, and Imra says, well, I thought it was a good idea then, and I do now, even if I decided to go back to active status.
So she's a senior advisor and an active legionnaire.
Exactly. And then Cosmic Boy says, I considered coming back to Saturn Girl, but after my little adventure with the new substitute heroes, there's their second mention.
Aww.
So
adorable.
He says, I've seen enough action for a year. And they say, and Garth says, you're really relaxing now, Kaz. Unlike those of us staying home with the kids. Enjoy your good fortune.
Mm. Oh.
So back on the ziggurat, they say, is it not true that to alter the natural order of luck is merely to ensure the improbable, not the specific? Anyways, there's a lot of babble. Basically.
Yeah, the Luck Lords tend to babble on, it's true. there's a lot of that... fancy prophecy speak that they do.
Yeah.
Which is really just kind of, it grates on you after a while. That's the one thing about them as villains, because they don't really take an active role in anything going on. They just, they're like a Greek chorus in a way.
Very much. And so I'm probably going to skip over a lot of what they've got to say, but...
I think that's fair.
Because, you know, it's a lot of the, oh, this could have changed this and
that could have changed that. And... Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So now we've got the the work of Kurt Swan coming up here, as they discuss the invasion of Zarian the Conqueror,
which was retconned to be a cund, was he not?
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Because
before I don't think we knew what he was, and then it's like, oh no, let's make that the first cund incident. So.
Yeah, and so Lightning Lad's there in his spacesuit, which gives us another indication as to the time frame. And he says, I can't let her do it. Saturn Girl knows one Legionnaire is doomed to die fighting Zarian, so she's grounded the rest of the team. But I can't let her sacrifice her. I can't let her sacrifice her life for ours. And he catches up with her, and he says, I'm not going to let you attack Zarian alone. And she says, Lightning Lad, how dare you disobey my orders? Get back to Earth. And he gets zapped. And there's a no. And they say the monument projects a holoptic image of Lightning Lad being struck by Zarian's freeze ray at the same time, at the same instant his bolts destroyed the Conqueror's warship. And he says, better me than you, Saturn Girl. And so off he goes. Everyone's sad. He's gone, Saturn Girl. Even with all modern science, sometimes we can't alter destiny, says some boy.
Well, remember, this is the first, like, real comic book death.
Yeah.
Because it looked like it was going to stick for a good long while. I mean, he got replaced, even. So.
Absolutely.
With Lightning Lass, and then it's like, okay.
Yeah, and so we have his body in the glass coffin with Saturn Girl, Sun Boy, Mon-El, Shrinking Violet, Bouncing Boy, and Chameleon Boy standing over it. And mm-hmm. and they say, of its own, luck served our dreams. The life that somehow ensured science's reign had ended. Surely the turning we hoped for would follow.
Yeah, more of that speak.
Yeah, so and so then we tag over to when they resurrected him. And so Superboy.
Mm-hmm. There's a Superboy here.
Interesting.
Should have been replaced with Mon-El, but Mon-El's already there.
Yeah. Well, they hadn't thought of that yet.
No, they
that,
had.
That was so still like, that was still a couple of years off.
Probably Cosmic Boy would probably replace Superboy in this instance as, you know, another founding member of the Legion.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
A la Wonder Woman in Justice League, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So so they
crisis.
Yeah, exactly. So they set up the lightning rods to basically transfer the life force into Lightning Lad. And Saturn Girl's got the, you know, she's replaced her wand with Duralim. And of course, but it wasn't actually her. Mm. So.
Nope, it was Prody number one.
Yeah. So he wakes up saying, what happened? I remember Zarian's ray. And Ayla? And she says, I'm here, Garth, and you're safe now. And, I guess I didn't do the roll call across the top there, but Saturn Girl, Sun Boy, Cosmic Boy, Lightning Lass, and, Bouncing Boy, and Chameleon Boy. And he says, no, I don't want to live at the expense of Saturn Girl's life. And they say, oh, look, it's not really her, it was Prody.
And Cam goes, my Prody!
Yeah, exactly.
That's glossed over big time. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know.
And, hang on a second.
What? Have you drunk
some? Oh, yeah. No, I was just I was just looking up at my... I've got my little vinyl Legion characters on my desk, and the Chameleon Boy does, in fact, have Prody hanging out around his leg. Mm-hmm. So
good, sir.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, so Saturn Girl comes out of the cave. She says, oh, no, Prody, you know, basically, yeah, Prody messed around with me.
Excuse me.
You know, just basically, he figured out what I was doing, lured me into the caves, and saved my life.
Aww.
We head back to Legion headquarters, and Wildfire is giving his sort of treatise on Atmos. And he says, that's what we know about Atmos. My Committee on Membership concludes its report.
Mm.
And he says, it's all I've got for the record, Polar Boy, but watch out for that guy. I don't like his style one bit. And he says, no argument, Wildfire, but that's optional, right? And we get back to Dream Girl in her quarters, tossing and turning, and then Atmos phases through, says, do not toss and turn, so Dream Girl, your rescuer is here.
Oh my goodness.
Failure from acting, failure from failing to act. No answer lies in these memories. Oh my God, they blather, don't they?
Yes, they do. That's why we don't see them much.
Yeah, and we get skipping down to the bottom of the page, literally, we see Lightning Lad losing his arm to a monster named out of Earth's legends. The Moby Dick of Space.
Yep. And then we get Starfinger.
That's right. That's right. And so they say, yet the mortals undid that with a device of their unholy science instead of flesh. At what cost? The mortal who fashioned the device stole Garth Rand's mind and made him appear a villain for a time. Rand's thought his life explained when he met foolish mortals masquerading in our legend. His luck was, so that's important, you know. And he says his luck was bad, he thought, but if he but knew. And yet even his arm regrew when treated by another mortal doctor, a good man trapped in the evil service of another. Would he survive unless we acted again? How could we know? And now we get over to artwork by Dave Cockrum. And this is
Krakoom, take a drink.
Indeed, indeed. Among the most unnoticed spots within the inner planets is Stopover, a satellite noted for its extensive starport location astride major trading paths and early investors who joined the UP Council. And so, yeah, we see Lightning Lord doing some Krakooming, and then there's a kaboom.
An earth-shattering kaboom.
Exactly. And he says, who needs Tarek the Mute and his gang of deadweights? All they got me was prison in a psych chair. But there's no cell that can hold Lightning Lord. Now, are you ready to transfer me the credit balance of this starport, or do you want it destroyed? And there's Garth. He says, Garth, but how? You left a wide trail when you broke out, brother. And yep. He says, I left the other Legionnaires to clean up the prison break. You're a personal responsibility. Maybe I wasn't there when the Legion caught you in that school for supervillains, but I've been looking for you since the day you left Winneth. And so basically, yeah, it's them.
So this is after the adventure story from... since he mentioned Tarek the Mute, this is the story where they kidnap Colossal Boy's mother and Timberwolf and Chemical King become members.
Yeah, exactly. Now, yeah, because I think the one we kind of think of is the one where he turned his hair white, but obviously that's already happened.
Yeah, that's happened. Yeah.
And he says, you incomplete fool, talking to me as though you were my elder. I'm surprised you can even stand without your twin at your side. And he says, I'm taking you home, Echt, home where you can get the help you needed ever since you were born a singleton and born bitter. And he says, crawl back to your sister, child, if you can. Krakoom.
Take another drink.
Woohoo. Yeah. He says, you're coming home, Echt, one way or another. Krakoom.
Now, it doesn't look like the lightning is going through Lightning Lad.
It does,
last
yeah.
Panel.
Yeah.
It's like, no, bad.
And he says, if that's the limit of your power, little brother, you better call your Legionnaire friends or don't make threats. And so he builds up into the... And this was kind of the thing he had in 303, right, where he mm-hmm. turned into a full-on lightning monster.
Yep.
And there's a Krakoom, followed by another Krakoom, followed by a Kaboom. Just take a long drink there.
A very long drink, because Mecht realizes he can't kill his brother yet.
Yeah. He says, I don't know why I couldn't bring myself to kill you, but don't count on me saving you next time. And so the Legion, and so everyone there behind him is like, hooray, he's gone. He says, but why do I have the terrible feeling that I've started something that may take my whole life to finish? And, so they say, okay, even now Mechran's grows closer to Earth. Where we have failed before, finally we shall succeed. And so we're in the multi-lab, and Brainy's in there. Saturn Girl comes in and says, hey, haven't seen you in days. Everyone says you've vanished into your work. And she goes, are you well? And he says, I'm a bit preoccupied, as you can understand. It strikes me that after our experience on Universal's prison world, you probably understand me better than anyone alive. And she says, perhaps, all the more reason I'd like to help you. And he says, not yet. She says, well, when you're ready, let me know. And she leaves the room and runs into Sensor Girl, who says, I heard. I'm worried about him, too. It was the same way with Mon-El when the two of us were helping with the science police recently. He was in a world of his own. So many of us are still in pain, working through our feelings of loss. Or perhaps it is simply the obligations of justice unfulfilled weighing on their souls. And Shady says, you both missed the point. And they said, what do you think it is, Shadow Lash? And she goes, Mon Al and Brainy just need someone to kill.
Well, this is the best two-page spread leading into Conspiracy.
Yeah.
That I think we could have ever gotten, where it's Saturn Girl appearing to help to talk to Brainy on one level, but really she's asking, are you ready for me to help you with the plan?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, exactly.
But that's not clear here until later. And then Sensor Girl, you know, she becomes one of the main antagonists of the Conspiracy storyline when she's like, I don't know what you're up to. Stop it. And then, of course, Shady being the one who's like, yeah, here's the real thing that's going on. Even though she's not involved in it at all. But she knows Mon-El.
Right.
And she knows Brainy, since she was in love with both of them. So
exactly.
It's going to be a fun five-parter.
Exactly. So we end up over, now we've got some Mike Grell art, and we see the Lightning Lad Saturn Girl wedding.
Aww.
And we see a bit of their honeymoon, and...
a lot of their honeymoon, actually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We see a whole lot of their honeymoon. It's like, hello!
And then when they saw, and so of course, because of course they had to leave the Legion, didn't they? And
against the rules.
Exactly. So we see them realizing that the Dark Circle is on Earth, and they say the Legion stopped their first attempt to invade. They'll do it again. And so they decided, hey, you know, we're the ones who wrote the Legion Constitution forbidding married members. We practically threw ourselves out, even if we didn't realize that's what we did. And so they said they might need us or not. And Garth says, I don't know which would be worse. And off they go.
In their itty-bitty black bikinis.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely some Grell era stuff.
Oh, yeah. This could be in Skartaris and we wouldn't know.
Yeah, really. For sure. So they get their flight rings on and off they go. And
where they were keeping them, we don't know, people.
Exactly.
Don't ask.
And Garth says, yeah, we'll prove that rule we wrote is stupid. And so off they go, and he says, first, his life is endangered because he dares. Second, his love for the woman had brought him death and often danger. What pattern does the casting of the Star Stones call? The third, of course, an answer which may be either true or false. Let us have a last memory of in the smoke, and then onto it, whatever destiny may befall. So we're back in Legion headquarters, and... Wildfire's showing off what he learned in Quizlet Land, and she's not that interested.
She's humoring him, basically.
Yeah, I'm sure it was fascinating. Wildfire. Huh? Yeah, and then Timberwolf says, yeah, to anyone weird enough to be there. Colossal Boy says, listen to Timberwolf playing the cynic, some boy, after all the strange places we've been. And he's, of course, in a hover chair. Mm-hmm. And some boy says, keep healing and soon you'll see more of them, Colossal Boy. And they're playing 3D chess, Quizlet, Tellus, and Invisible Kid, and Ayla and Vi are having a chat.
Aren't they, though?
Yeah, everybody seems to be finally getting back to Earth, Ayla. Think Polar Boy will let us have some time off now. And she says, I'm counting on it, Shrinking Violet. I promised my nephews an afternoon at the zoo while Garth and Saturn Girl get to relax alone. And we're going to take in Nyx Olympia's new shopping zone, right?
Oh, a date! Yay!
Yeah, so Ultra Boy comes back and... says to Ella Milad to tell Schwan to request a different Legion time next time, a Legion team the next time the SPs need help. And Block says this mission was both lengthy and boring. Only Phantom Girl's humor kept us awake. And Magnetic Kid's along, and so Kaz talks to him and asks him how he's doing. He says, fine, big brother, but it was a snoozer.
Yeah.
And Shady points out to Mon-El that she's worried about him. You're pulling further and further away from me. He says, I need some time, Shady. Right now, the pain is too fresh for me to have room for love again. Soon. Oh.
In other words, he ain't in the mood.
Yeah.
For anything, really.
Yeah. So we get to the Crime Watcher room at SP headquarters, and Siobhan's taking a look at the Crime Watcher, asking if there's any criminal activity worth paying attention to, but it's all going kind of screwy. Huh. She says, one blown circuit and the whole thing goes. You think we'd have learned to build better backup systems? Tech drones to Starport, please, for repair. Got to be a one in a million shot that it'd go out just as I wanted to look, though. Chapter 6, and this is clearly Keith Giffen art.
Oh, yeah. Here's your preview of what the 5 years later is going to look like, kids.
A little bit, and also what we're going to see in the in this series in not too long, five issues. So, actually, why don't you take it from here?
Sure, I can take it from here.
Yeah,
we're in Metropolis Earth, and actually, let me back up a page. I already flipped past the opening. Paintings of the supposed ziggurat each show radically different landscapes surrounding it, as though the land itself was in a process of constant and random change. No settled portion of Ventura is ever depicted, only those areas unseen by explorers under the Great Gas Band. And that's from Mar Gibbs' Guide to the Pleasure Worlds, continued. Mm-hmm. And the three Luck Lords are basically standing either in or at the precipice of what appears to be a volcano. Gaze upon him, first a man, second a companion in life, third a father. Perhaps there our answer lies. And we go back to Metropolis on Earth, and Garth's like, I think the ancients had the right idea when they cooked their food over an open fire. At least then they weren't outsmarted by their food processors. I did punch in a simple recipe. I know I did. Now, what was the code I was? And Graham's there. Daddy eat soon? Soon, Graham. And he goes back to Validus, Daddy fighting auto chef Validus again. Heard that, boys. That's slice of life stuff. Reap, entrance portal opening. Mommy! And walks Saturn Girl, and the boys run to her. And they're dressed as, it's kind of funny, they're wearing Lightning Lord's colors, or it's very Christmassy all of a sudden. Come close, kids. Mom's had a rough few days. How about you, Gar? Oh, no problem, Imra. And the smoke is coming from the kitchen. And Sangro says, we found Starfinger's blackmail team. Good. Does that mean we can celebrate and go out to dinner? Come on, kids. Bath time. Poor Garth. Oh, if his back hurts half as much as mine does, thank the rings for the thermo masseur. And she's getting a heat rub down from this little robot. Hmm. And Garth says, you missed Validus' first building with the holoconstructs. Dear, Graham trampled it. Everyone get back safely? No serious injuries, despite Polar Boy misbalancing the teams. Go easy on the kid, Imra. He's years older than I was as Legion leader. Do you miss those days? You mean being in action together? Well, I worry about you more, but Daddy! And we have a butt shot from one of the kids. enough. There is no answer needed in the past. The present shall determine our fate. Unveil it that we may learn the future. Basically, yeah, he's a father. It has nothing to do with what we're doing. And then we get to Chapter 7. Possibly the most amazing human phenomenon in the galaxy is the group of young people who have emerged as its living guardians, each possessed of powers that might appear unremarkable on their own planets. They are collectively awesome. Margib's Guide to Modern Phenomena. And the Luck Lords are basically in front of what appears to be some kind of Stonehenge portal. And there's the Legion headquarters in the portal with presumably the three founders in front of it. The convergence has come, the opportunity is ours. Let the laws of luck bend and twist and favor betide. Garth Rand shall die at his brother's hand, and chance shall rule the cosmos again. And, yep, it's the founders out front, and the kids out there are like, look, Legionnaires are leaving the building! Yeah, there's Saturn Girl and Lightning Concept Boy too! Wow! And there's a kid who's dressed probably as someone who's a fan of the Legion in a Superman cape and a Captain America outfit, which is just adorable. Wow! Please, the crowds aren't getting any smaller. Polar Boy must be doing something right. I can't imagine what planet some of these people are from. Oh, I'm too tired to guess, dear. Let's hit the trans tubes and get home. Don't worry, I wasn't about to start an autograph session. Imra, Rock, get back! And you see the little crackle. What? Kaboom! You felt it, didn't you, little brother? You felt me coming for you, and the Lightning Lord is in the sky, all crackly.
Mm-hmm.
Rock, Imra, get everyone out of here, fast! And Cosmic Boy starts using his magnetic powers to push people backwards, and Imra's projecting her telepathy to say, run, get to safety. And we see convergence is occurring. Who knew convergence would occur this far back in DC Comics? My looks finally changed, little brother. This time you're mine. This time you die in another kaboom.
Good grief.
You should have seen me walk out of Labyrinth, Garth. You're in vulnerable prism. Then I arrived on Earth without anyone noticing. Ah, and we have a Cthulhu! And another Cthulhu in the next panel!
Good grief.
Something's watching over me, little brother, taking care of me. Something that wants you dead. Imra, Rock, go! And Lightning Lad is on the ground smoking. Smoking. Remember, he's kind of rusty right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Cosmo Boy is like, Sproing! Get away from my husband, Lightning Lord. Weren't you listening, Saturn Girl? My luck has changed. I don't need to listen to your babbling any longer. What the? Just toys, little brother. Do you like them? And these robots come out of nowhere. Careful, Saturn Girl. I found them in the ship that took me off Labyrinth. Aren't they cute? They resist most every outside force, including magnetism or electricity, and they're perfectly easy to program, say, to capture Legionnaires, which is what they do. And Saturn Girl and Cousin Boy are basically taken out of the fight. And Garth says, don't force me to hurt you, Mecht. Force you? Did I forget to mention these little toys have one other feature, Garth? I have them programmed as lightning rods for your power, but not for mine. The first bolt you throw might kill your wife, Garth, or your best friend. Now who's going to hurt who? Crackoom. Take another drink. That is actually an ingenious plan from the Lightning Lord, isn't it, kids? And we see the Luck Lords standing over the, presumably the volcano or the portal again. Firstborn, he shall be our Prince of Victory, twice cursed by birth and accident, thrice blessed by the Luck Lords of Luck. The triumph shall be his and ours. Die, little brother, and we have a big battle. No, not this way, not now. You don't have any choice, Garth. Your luck's turned. I never had good luck, Mecht. I never asked for it. Remember? First I had you for an older brother, the strangest kid on Winneth. Then the accident that marked us all for life. Then, I met Imra and joined the Legion and ended up dead. Crack. Not dead enough. Not until I kill you. I came back once, Mecht, because she loved me enough to risk her life for me. And now Garth has wrapped his body around Lightning Lord's leg, and he is crackooming him. Crackoom! Ah! Love won't let anything stop it. And with that, I don't need my powers or luck to bring you down. And the two fall over. Convergence ends, yet we have failed again. Not again, but at last. Ooh. And then back in the multi-lab, no damage, rest won't cure, Lightning Lad, but you should consider getting some help with your kids for a while. Thanks, Brainy. Could you tell Imra? Oh, you did already. Naturally. Still content to play Daddy, Garth? Now that you've had a taste of action again? Think about it. If you go back on active duty, maybe I will too. Put the three of us together again. No chance. All I want is to bounce the boys on my knee. Let Ayla or someone else handle Mech next time. That's all the good luck I'm asking for. And you see some flames erupt again. And the Luck Lords are holding hands with each other. Convergence has ended, not to reoccur till the galaxies move their paths. The years are long, but luck is eternal and can wait. Not so, mortals whose time must fade. What destiny shall Garth Ranz have? At whose hand shall he die? Perhaps in bed of age or betrayed? What matter to us? Once he was born, fated that his life might plunge our universe back into chaos where it belongs. Twice he has chosen a path that puts his existence at risk that others might live. Thrice we have dreamed ways his time might end and failed. Now at last his luck shall be his own. So apparently there's this thing about the Luck Lords that they can only intervene three times in your life.
Yeah.
I guess. And there's a kind of a neat poster here at the end featuring most of the active Legionnaires.
Yeah.
We get Cam by Lightning Lass, Dawnstar, Tellus, Timberwolf, Block, White Witch, Quizlet, Colossal Boy, Invisible Kid, Polar Boy, Sun Boy, Magnetic Kid, Sensor Girl, Phantom Girl, Ultra Boy, and Brainiac 5. And at the bottom it says, to the real Legionnaires, our fans who've kept the future alive for 30 wonderful years, thanks.
Yeah.
Paul, Greg, Mike, John, Carl, Karen, and company.
And you missed a couple that were, because it's a two-page spread.
So on
the other page we have Mon-El, Shady, Dream Girl, Element Lad, and up at the top, Wildfire, and the Founders.
Darn it, Comixology. Gosh, darn it, the heck.
One note here, Levitz noted in the letter column, a special thanks to guest artists for participating in the issue. And it was kind of a parallel to issue 300, where Kurt Schaffenberger reprised his role in Legion 300 as Al Plastino's designated substitute. And in this case, Schaffenberger was taking time from his work on the world of Smallville, meaning miniseries that had been done as a part of Superman's 50th birthday celebration. And of course, longtime Legion artist Kurt Swan, who has just completed the first prestige format Superman volume with his collaborators John Byrne and Jerry Ordway. That was the there was actually an ad for that in here earlier. The Earth Stealers.
The something something Dark Side.
Yeah, something something Dark Side. Yeah, it was Superman the Earth Stealers. It was a 48-page one-shot. That's right. Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
And this was when they started doing a lot of those deluxe format series that were reprints. So they did one of the New Gods, and more importantly, they did one of the Spectre, Michael Fleischer and Jim Aparo.
I can't remember where I'm going on a daily basis, but I know that.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Age. Yeah. And they said, Kurt Swan had just completed that. Dave Cockrum, famed for his role in reviving super teams, including this one in the 1970s, and then, of course, not long after that, the X-Men. And Mike Grell, who had his first taste of fan-favedom on the Legion long before Green Arrow, and our frequent collaborator in these pages, Keith Giffen, whose work on Justice League International is cracking the top 10 charts every month. So next month, on the fourth hand, begins a tale of conspiracy within the Legion. Who are the conspirators? What's their plot? That would be telling, wouldn't it? Plus,
it would.
More on Chameleon Boy's plan.
Indeed, because he's not around right now.
Yeah. So lots going on. And yep. I liked it as a look back on, as framing a look back on the Legion's history through Lightning Lad. To take us through sort of different eras of the Legion. But the Luck Lords, it
was a bad plot device in this.
It's why it's never been one of my favorite issues. I as much as I love the look back, and not crazy about the inking on Schaffenberger, Swan, Cockrum, and Grell. It doesn't really work for me. Not my favorite issue.
I love the cover. The cover's beautiful. The
cover's gorgeous. And we're going to see a whole bunch more Ken Stacy covers over the next several issues. Mm-hmm. I guess they were just giving Steve Lytle a little break here. This might have been, I'm trying to remember if he was working on Doom Patrol at this point.
He may have been.
Yeah, I think so. Or somewhere around here anyway. So that might have been why. He might have been just too busy with that. So anyway, but good stuff. And yeah, the Ken Stacy stuff. Oh, it's beautiful.
We do have one side note. Longtime listener and friend of ours. Stuart McWilliams. He lost his mom this weekend. So I know it's Mom's Day and everyone's celebrating moms, but we should also take a moment to acknowledge those folks who are no longer with us. And if you have a chance, just send some love and light to Stuart. Because we're thinking about you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's it.
All right. So comments, as always, are welcome to Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can join us in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble. We're going to head back to the 21st century, but we will be back here next week to talk about conspiracies. Mm-hmm. And we will see you then.
Krakoom! Take a drink!